For Christians, giving is not an option. But how, when, and why should we give? Well, we find answers to these questions in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 8. And now, part 3 of Pastor C. Wright's series on stewardship, entitled, Givers Have to Give.
Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry C. Wright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Amen. But let me start off today by also giving you all thanks for last week. Man, that was good. It was good. That was good. Want to thank the planners. You got me with Whitfield and Company. You got me. Whitfield, that's my man, and his music is my man. Then the hospitality staff as well. The Whitfield Company gave an awesome compliment. They said that the love and attention that was given just was so encouraging. So, you know, that is something that I was happy to hear. In addition to that, you know, I would like to also thank the kitchen staff. The sandwiches were literally finger-licking good. They had that honey butter on them, and I saw folks working with it. They were working with it. Right. Matter of fact, Brother Politier had a funny line. He said, oh, you're going to love them sandwiches. Matter of fact, you should get a stack of them, but make sure you're eating them while you're on the treadmill. That was some good stuff. Thank you all. I really appreciate it. And as always, I have to encourage you all time and time again, please come out to Sunday school and come out to the weekly services, the Wednesday nights for this month, but Tuesday nights standard. I ask you all to come. That's when you get deeper into the word. So I encourage you all to please come out. And then I also hear, like I stated last week, that the I don't know what to call it, marriage gathering, marriage people, but I hear they're having a good time, and they're encouraging one another, and that's a good thing to hear. Amen. All right, let's get off into this message. This message today is titled, Givers Have to Give. Now, depending on where you put that comma, it have a different meaning. Givers have to give. Then givers have to give. Huh? Not tricky, wasn't it? That's good. And we're coming from 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 8. And this passage needs a bit of background in order to set it up. All right. So if you will, just be patient and listen carefully to a bit of this background. Okay, this is the historical background. So in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 1, Jesus instructed the disciples or apostles to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. In this same chapter, Jesus proclaimed that they, the apostles, would be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. When we move on to Acts the second chapter, we're told that there were about 120 believers in an upper room when suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. We go on in chapter 4 of that same chapter, and it states that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Next, as we read on in Acts, we see that Peter preached to the crowd that was gathered, and as a result, 3,000 people believed. Amen. These new members came from various parts of the world, and you can see that in the same chapter, verses 8 through 10. I don't even want to try to name some of those areas that they came from. Amen? But you can see that through 8 and 10. And this occurred during the time of Pentecost. Pentecost, which means the Feast of Weeks or Shavuot, a holy holiday in which the Jewish people gave thanks to God for the beginning of the wheat harvest. The beginning of the wheat harvest. Isn't that significant? Because the beginning of the harvest came as well on the day of Pentecost for the establishment of the church. But get this. When we read further in Acts the fourth chapter, and specifically Acts 4:4, we see that this church grew by another 5,000. 5,000. Possibly more, because this was just the number of men that were counted. Amen? So, the only existing church was a megachurch made up of mostly people who were far away from their homes. And they had over 8,000 people. 8,000 members. And they decided to stay because of their faith and by faith. And they decided to stay in Jerusalem and not go back home. But some who believed went back home. It was interesting because when I heard another preacher preach on this passage, what he stated is that those who went back home had like businesses to take care of, and they may have been like dignitaries or had offices in other areas and things of that nature, so they went back home. So the others who stayed more than likely were not that rich. So you had over 8,000 people in this church. This was the only church, right? 8,000, and they weren't well off. Amen? Y'all following me? So this Jerusalem church soon ran out of resources. The folks that were local did the best that they could, but we're talking over 8,000 people. Amen? So during his missionary journey, Paul was part of a campaign to collect money from various churches to people to help the folks in Jerusalem. And the reason why I said various churches is because, like I said, during his missionary journey, churches were established. And then, like I also stated, folks went back home. And those believers that went back home, they also multiplied as well. So, as I stated, Paul went around and he was collecting money for this Jerusalem church that was in a crisis. Now, to further complicate things, Jesus was not a popular figure, right? Those who followed him, they were persecuted, right? Following Christ cost these believers employment, benefits that came through the temple, and it even cost them family. Jesus warned them of this in John. right? He said, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will also keep yours. He goes on, that was John 15 and 20. He goes on in John 16 and 2. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. It was rough times for them. Amen. So how does this tie into Corinthians, and how does the Corinthians play into this? Well, a year or a bit longer, when Paul went around and tried to collect this money for the Jerusalem church, the Corinthians committed at that time to give to this cause. But what happened is that a group of false teachers came and made these folks doubt Paul. So there was some doubt as to if Paul was just collecting money to put in his own pocket. Amen. And they were kind of also unraveled by the fact that this was a very proud church. These Corinthians, man, you know, they were a mess. They were a mess. And they were even proud of the gifts that they had. I mean, if they had a showier gift, they were trying to lord that over the ones that did not have the gift that they had. Like, for example, tongues. Tongues were pretty flashy, and you can hear them speaking in tongues. And then if someone else didn't have the gift of tongues, well, they were beneath them, so to speak. Amen. So they had issues going on in that Corinthian church. Paul had correspondence with them at least four letters. That's what most theologians say, that at least four letters were written back and forth to try to correct what was going on in Corinth. They had fallen out with Paul, but at a certain point in chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians, we see that they worked things out. Amen. And now Paul could focus back on collecting the offering, completing that task. Now, although our scripture lesson text for today focuses on supporting members in need, it yet provides principles we should employ in giving, period. All right? So these churches in Macedonia, they were made up of Thessalonica, Philippi, and Berea. And Paul used these churches as an example as to how to give. Now, it makes you think three things. Why give? How to give, right? And then when to give, why give, how to give, and when to give. If you want to know how to treat not only talent, but money, 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter and the 9th chapter will give you some solid ground as to proceed. So, why give? There are three reasons why believers give to the church. To support the workers of the church. Two is to support the members of the church. And third, to support ministries for believers and also evangelistic efforts. Amen. So why were these folks moved to give? Again, because they saw a need. These churches responded after being told of the conditions in Jerusalem. They responded to the fact that their fellow believers were in great need of assistance. And you know what? Woe to us, church. Woe to us, church, if we don't do the same. Amen? For scripture also says this in James 4 and 17. Whosoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Goes on to tell us in Proverbs 21 and 13, whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. You hear that? So church, let us keep in mind how we would like God to respond to our needs. Amen? Because also scripture goes back to James and it says this in the second chapter, for judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen? And that's in James 2:13. So a proper understanding of scripture tells us that we are commanded to give. We're commanded to give. If you do, turn to Luke, if you will, the 6th chapter and the 38th verse. It says, give. And it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Give. The word give is in the present imperative active, indicating a command to do something. A command to do something. And the finished product. Do you see the finished product? After you give, it'll be good measured, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You know, when you read this scripture and then you study it, what they said is that this example was given or taken by the agricultural practice at that time. What folks would do before they would plant, they had to go to a seed shop, if you will. And they had this cloth on them that looked like an apron. Amen? And what they do is they would get that apron up and tie one end to themselves and then hold it together. And then the seed would be dumped into their lap. Right? And you know us. You know, just think of us in an ice cream parlor. And you know, you say, give me a half pint of Superman or whatever y'all like. And then all of a sudden, if that person go up there and just get your ice cream and do like this, you're going to have an issue. Right? And they just tapping it. And then they put the lid on it. But now you'll be happy if they get that ice cream and they press it down. Shaking together. Right? And then they keep doing it until it runneth over. And that's what they're talking about, right? It's just like your ice cream, how you want it packed, or your, like how I like my fried rice when I go to get some fried rice. I'm like, press it down. Shake it together. Run it over. Right? That's how I like it, right? And this is what God will do for you. Isn't it interesting that God has to command you to give? It's almost like he's saying, give so you can be blessed. Like to have to command you to be blessed. Give. Give so I can bless you. You see that? Give. Give. God has to command us to give. My Lord. How to give. How to give. There's a proper way to give. And if we go back to our passage of the 2 Corinthians 8, 2 through 3. Just reading those two verses. It says, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord. What are we being told here? Well, first of all, it tells us that when Paul used these folks as an example of giving, it tells us first that giving is to your ability. It's to your ability, right? Ability. Now, nowhere in God's word does it encourage prodding and tricking and pressuring and strong-arming you out of your money or your talent. Amen? What sense does it make to give you a spiritual gift and then have to trick you to use it? Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. What sense does it make to give you money and then have to trick you to give it? No. See, God is not the God of bankruptcy. It says give to your ability. God expects you to give based on what you have. If you read in this same chapter, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12, it says, for if the readiness or the willingness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. That's clear, ain't it? That's clear enough. So if we are to give according to our ability, then it means that some are able to give much because they got big money. Others will give smaller amounts. Amen? It should be to your ability. Your ability. So this new age or this new way of collecting money that you may have experienced, because I've experienced it, is not the way we conduct ourselves here. Amen? Pressing you to give something you don't have is not our style. Amen? Amen. So please note, though, there's a couple of things that I want you to note, though. I have to say this. Some of us have mismanaged our funds. And in turn, it affects our ability. Because we've mismanaged our funds. Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Yes, yes. Yeah. We've mismanaged to the point of being enslaved to debtors. Right? Now, here's a word of hope for you saints. Repent. No, I'm joking. But here's a here's a word of hope, saints. It's not the end. It's not the end. It's not the end. And that's why this thing here, this series, was coupled with Brother Mark and on Wednesday nights. It was to try to teach us how to handle our money, right? How to handle our money, how to manage our money in a way, right? Not only to a point where we can live without debtors being on our backs, but we can also give as well. Amen? Amen. Okay. So, another thing that I need for you all to note is this. God supports good investments. God supports good investments. And we are to steer clear of bad investments. Amen? We're not a church that will be duped by every sad story that comes along. Do you hear me? We're not a church that will be duped by every sad story that comes along. See, mercy and doofus does not mean the same thing. We can show mercy, but we're not dumb. Amen? Amen. All right. All right. So Moving on. So we are to give to our ability, but we are also, and it tells us here in the example of this church, we are to give sacrificially. We are to give sacrificially. Look at that second verse again in the 8th chapter, 2 Corinthians. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance. Now they had the severe test of affliction. Their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty. You see that? Have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. History tells us that these three churches, man, they had it bad. Rome had came in and they had excavated all the natural resources out of that area, such as gold and silver and things of that nature, and left the people that lived there to work. They did not have a lot of money. It says extreme poverty. These folks could have easily stated, we don't have it. We don't have it. They could have said that. Now, we are quick. I included myself. We are quick to say, we don't have it. And pull right up to McDonald's. Give me two quarter pounders with them. I mean, you could have ordered one quarter pound and gave us, you know, gave us that dollar, right? Amen. Okay. All right. I know I'm talking about your money, but I got to, right? You know, when I was sitting and studying this passage, I began to think about the example I drew from children. And children are great teachers. They're good teachers when you just sit back and check them out. And man, they're good. And I've learned three lessons from them that I would like to share with you all. And it involves when you ask them, give me some. Give me some, or can I play with? Say, give me some of your Skittles. What I observed is that they will keep the red ones, they'll keep the yellow ones, and they give you the orange ones. They like the red ones, and they love the yellow ones, and they give you the orange ones. Y'all see where I'm going? Then they'll say, if you say, give me a piece of your sandwich, give me some of your sandwich. They'll look at you. They'll look at the sandwich. And those little fingers will turn into tweezers. And they'll say, huh? And you know, the funny thing is they walk away like they did something significant. Right? And then the other thing is you say, can I play with? They will outright say, no, with attitude. They told me, no. And here's the deep thing. They were not paying attention or even using what I was asking to play with. They were busy playing with something else. But what I asked to play with was sitting over there not being used. And I said, can I play with? They run back to it. Now. Now. You're not even using it. They go back and they play with their toy. And the point is, they don't want you to have it. They want to have it. Church, we cannot be blessed if we are in either of those categories. Amen. Keeping what you want and giving away what you don't want. You don't even want it. And you're giving it and you're trying to give it away. We can't be blessed in that type of situation. Amen. We can't be blessed in a situation where we, you know, we call ourselves being merciful, but we got tweezers. Right? And we give you that. And we definitely can't be blessed if we're trying to keep all of our stuff, even if we're not using it. Amen? Man, I got suits in my closet. I got so convicted. I'm going to Salvation Army or something this week. Because you hoard it and you keep it, and you're not using it. But it's you. You using it. It's like, you know, it gives me comfort or something, I guess. I don't know. You know, and I know that I'm not like big, but I'm big. I'm too big for them suits that I have, right? And some of us are in denial where we say one day, one day, right? One day, right. But then there's another notable thing that I do want to say that I've noticed too, that only happened to me once. And I asked the kid to give me some, and she looked at her sandwich, and she gave me such a huge hunk of that sandwich, right? Gave me a huge hunk of that sandwich. But then when she looked down to see how much she didn't have, she started crying. She started crying. And it was so sweet. It was so sweet when a child did it. But I'm telling you all, when y'all go to these services and y'all pimped out of y'all money, I've seen that face on a lot of grown folks. Where they give a whole bunch and they're looking like, what have I done? What have I done? God tells you to give. Like I told you, God is not the God of bankruptcy. You give to your ability, but you also give sacrificially. Sacrificially as well, right? It's supposed to hurt a little bit. Amen? Just a little. Just a little, right? Just a little. My Lord. So, what we as Christians must understand is that there's a rule that is something that we have to grasp. We got to grasp this rule. And this rule is that Christians realize that if we keep it, we lose it. But if we give it away, we have it. See what I'm saying? It don't make sense if you are outside the spiritual realm. But if you think in spiritual terms, think of it. Think of it. Now, Christians realize if they keep it, they lose it. But when they give it away, they have it. And the best example that I could come to is you had a problem retaining, like, the Sunday school lesson, right? Have you ever had a problem retaining the Sunday school lesson or remembering a sermon? Well, try this. Try sharing it with somebody. Try sharing it with somebody. And when you share that Sunday school lesson with somebody, all of a sudden what happens is that it sticks. And you retain it. Amen? So if you have a problem with memorizing scriptures, try sharing it with someone. And you retain it, right? So we are to give to our ability, and we are to give sacrificially. And there's another way we are to give, right? And that is we are to give freely. Freely. And here's the point. This is the point that's noteworthy here, right? This is the point that's noteworthy. You know, there's a saying that says heart smart. Heart smart. That's what they say in the health profession. They say, you know, you got to eat and you got to be like heart smart. That means you got to eat right and exercise a little bit and everything else. But when I thought about it, heart smart is beyond physical. You see what I'm saying? Heart smart is beyond physical, because if your mind ain't there and your heart ain't there, you ain't going to eat right. Right? You ain't going to eat right. Ain't no heart smart about it. You're going to get your fries on, and you're going to get whatever else on. So it's like a whole being thing that moves towards this heart smart effort. Right? And when you think of things in a spiritual realm, right, you think of things in a spiritual realm, because that's what we're talking about here, is something that is in this spiritual realm. If we're thinking about that, then guess what will get in the way? If we try to approach this thing with willpower, right? With willpower, you know, I'm gonna do this, and my willpower and my self-discipline. See, that can set you up for failure, because what it says in God's word is, then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit," says the Lord of host. God is going to have to change some folks' attitude once it comes to giving. God is going to have to change some folks' attitude once it comes to their money and how they use their talent. Amen? It's another person that I've quoted before. He says, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. To God, the right attitude is highly important. The right attitude is highly important. So how are we to give? We are to give freely. Freely. Not grudgingly. Not out of compulsion. Not as if somebody had to twist our arms to do it. Amen? Look at the attitude that these folks had. Look at verse 4 of this 8th chapter in 2 Corinthians. It says, this is what they did, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. These poor folks, these extremely poor folks, were begging to take part in the relief of the saints. Amen. What a wonderful problem. What a wonderful problem to have. And if you will, just walk with me through Scripture. And I want you to see, if I had this problem or if we had this problem, it would be awesome. If you can just walk with me through Scripture for a moment and turn to Exodus, the 35th chapter. And I just want to read just a bit of verses 21 through 29. What a problem this would be if we had it. Oh my goodness, we would, be great. And it says, and I'm going to read it, because it's in Exodus 35, verses 21 to 29. Now, it starts off and it says this, "And they came, every one whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting, and for all its services, and for the holy garments. So they came, both men and women, all who were of willing heart, brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and armlets, all sorts of gold objects, every man dedicating an offering of gold to the Lord. And every one who possessed blue or purple or scarlet yarns or fine linen or goat's hair or tanned ram skin or goat skins brought them. Everyone who could make a contribution of silver or bronze brought it as the Lord's
contribution. And everyone who possessed a kayak would of any use in the work brought it. And every skillful woman spun with her hands, and they all brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twin linen. And then you want to go to the next chapter, the 36th chapter, verses 3 through 7. And it says this: "And they received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work on the sanctuary. They still kept bringing him freewill offerings every morning, so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task that he was doing, and said to Moses, 'The people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do.' So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp, 'Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution of the sanctuary.' So the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more." What a problem. Man, what a problem. What a problem. In church, in closing, church, in closing, this church has a legacy in giving. And I could not even think about the subject of giving without thinking about Elder Williamson. One of the most giving persons I know. I mean, he gives when he's not liked. I've seen him give when people hated him. I've seen him give when he was misunderstood. And I've seen him give when he didn't have it to give, because he just couldn't stand there and do nothing. And he saw folks' situations, and he saw it so vividly that he was broken about it. That's the legacy that I've seen, church. And that's the legacy that this church has. It has a legacy of being a giving church. A giving church. See, Sunday after Sunday, Elder Williamson tells us and told us to repeat Galatians, right? And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, and I read on, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, to all, right? And especially to those who are of the household of faith. See, like him, we must keep in mind the principle of sowing. Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, it says, this is the point. This is the point. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Meaning your arm is not twisted about this thing. For God loves a cheerful giver. Now, God loves all believers, but he seems to just really love a cheerful giver. Church, we're not just talking about your money. We're talking about your time. We're talking about your talent. How can you see a need in this church and not fill it? If you're able to feel it, how can you just sit back and not fill that void that is needed with your talent? As I said last week, God will give you a wonderful voice and it's just for the shower. He gives you awesome people skills and it's just for your household. He gives you the gift of encouragement and it's just for the people who are around you and it's not for the church. He gives you these gifts to use in the church for the upkeep of his kingdom, not yours. Not yours. That's why I ask you, your agenda. Whose agenda are you pushing? Is it your agenda or is it his? Are you building your kingdom or are you busy building his kingdom? You got to make a choice. You have to make a choice, church. And as I stated before, God is asking you, and God has commanded me as well to ask you as the leader to please do as he commanded you. Please, and we beg you to do. We beg you to do as God commands you to do. But here's the thing. If you're disobedient, that's between you and him. My job is done after I've told you. Amen? The Bible teaches that givers have to give. Right? And givers have to give. So they have to give and they have to give. Amen? So when we look at these folks in Macedonia, please don't give the excuse that, you know, I ain't got nothing. The little I got, I ain't got nothing. Don't ask me for nothing. Well, these folks, they had it off worse than you. And they found a way to give. It says give to your ability. If you don't have much, we're not expecting $1 million from you, but we're expecting you to give. Amen. And I know it's a taboo thing for for ministers to come up here and talk about money. I know, but it's in the word and it's part of telling you all that ministry needs money. Ministry needs money, church. Amen. But more importantly, the church is unified by prayer and right teaching. By prayer and right teaching. And that's all I'm doing. I'm praying and I'm trying to teach right. So the decision is now yours, church, as we stand.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at nlccpontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.